If you didn't already, you should know that there are millions of ants living under your feet. With an estimated 20 quadrillion of these little guys on the planet, you're never very far away from a teeming colony of coordinated insects. This is mostly thanks to the Argentine ant, which has found a way to span the globe using peace, harmony, and aggressive imperialist and scorched earth policies. But sometimes, it's not enough to survive. You need to win here in life, death, and taxonomy.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Taxonomy. It's your 30 minutes of interesting animal information. I'm Joe.
And I'm Carlos.
Thank you to Cassie for the creation of our theme song. To hear more of Cassie's music, please search Cassie and the Show on YouTube or Spotify.
And thank you to Joanna for the creation of this week's artwork. To check that out, you can visit us at our home on the web at ldtaxonomy.com. And a very special thank you to our patrons, to Jesse Raspolich, Carol Raspolich, Richard Caspar, Lonnie and Aubrey, Gray Hughes, and Wednesday Rabbit. Thank you so much for your support. It's greatly appreciated. Thanks for helping us keep the lights on.
And today we're talking about an invading horde that isn't even supposed to be here. But more on that later.
Most invading hordes are supposed to be here.
Do you even go here?
Yeah, they don't even go to this school. But what are we talking about?
We're talking about the Argentine ant.
Sounds fancy.
Yeah. Argentine.
Although Argent energy is the energy of the dimension of hell in the Doom franchise, so...
Oh.
It's a little less fancy there.
Yeah, well, it's Argentine, I think you would say.
Yeah, it's Argentine. Of Argent. If it is... Yeah, so if it's Argent energy, and it's derived from that, then it's Argentine.
Ah, okay.
On Argentine, my dear.
It's a bug. It's an ant. It's a little ant. There's so many different kinds of interesting ants. You could do a whole podcast on them, but we are not. But we're doing it today. You know,
yeah,
what do you call it?
Argentine ant, but we're going to call it here the imperial insect. We talked a lot about imperialism in our warm-up. Just be prepared for Dune spoilers. and like the 30th time that we've talked about our differing opinions on the James Cameron's Avatar. So the imperial insect, the workers' union, and... Ants sit, get together, yeah.
What's this? I don't know this.
What?
What is this?
That song?
Well, I don't know what this song is.
Oh, it's one of those old, like, 50s songs from the 50s. I don't know who sings it. It's just, like, one of those zeitgeist...
Bebop and zoodop, boppity-bop.
So yeah, you hit the nail on the head. It's a lot of zoobop, beepity-bop. just about as, like, malt milkshake in the summer fun times, kind of...
We love it.
Kind of innocuous music, but yeah, anyway.
Would you like to know what science has to call it?
Sure.
The real world's oldest profession, the much less inappropriate one. Naming
right.
Animals. The kingdom is Animalia. You know it. You love it. You live inside it. The phylum is Arthropoda, which means it has the foot of an orthodontist or something. It's an invertebrate. The class is Insecta. The order Hymenoptera. We've been here before. It's ants and bees and wasps and sawflies. Did you sawflies? I saw flies. The family is Formicidae. That's just ants. And the subfamily is Dolichoderinae. Dolich. Dolicho. Dolicho durine.
Yummy.
The genus is Linepithema or Linepithema.
Linepithema. That sounds better.
Linepithema. The species is Hummel. Hummel. Limepithema Hummel. Hummel.
It's you. You probably pronounce that E at the end. It's probably Humili.
Humili.
Yeah.
Humili.
Linepithema. Or Linepithema, or something like that. Humon.
Mm-hmm.
But since, we're in the business of naming things, right?
Yeah, it's the
oldest business. And since we're in the business of naming things, yeah, it's the oldest business. It's time for my favorite part of the show, nitty-gritty nomenclature. Because we've done ants a lot, and we already know that ants come in colonies at the grocery store. So, let's talk about what Linepithema humile means in English. This is very... This version, the nitty-gritty nomenclature, is as on-brand with, like, the title of this show as it could possibly be. Like, it's... Well, this is taxonomy. We are pulling that apart. Okay, so does Linepithema or Linepithema humile mean A, straight humid climber, B, lowly cursed thing, C, rod-like humble ant, or D, underground stone? Straight humid climber, lowly cursed thing, rod-like humble ant, underground stone.
I guess underground stone could be a non sequitur red herring, but I'm going with underground stone. Final answer.
Well, reel in your line because you've caught a red herring. It's lowly cursed thing.
Okay. That was not my. That was like my third guess.
Good, because whenever I'm putting these together, it's always glaringly obvious to me, and not just because I bold the right answer, but it just feels like there's like one of these things would be way more difficult to just come up with. Everything else is like very. Make sense hindsight. With the animal, but it's Linepithema means accursed thing, and humile means lowly, or you know, low or humble.
Mm-hmm.
You can just call someone Linepithema next time you want to have an insult that everyone will make fun of you for using.
Would you like to know what it looks like?
Sure, I've got a pretty good guess though.
It looks like an ant, yeah. It's what is described as a small-bodied ant species.
Hmm.
What does that mean? It's small? It's small-bodied, but large in spirit? Is that what...
Well, I guess you got ants, like bullet ants, driver ants, that have like really big heads and small bodies. And then
okay.
You have some that have like massive bodies and like little heads.
I would describe this as the most normal ant in terms of proportions. That you can't look at this
normal,
and say.
Normal though.
No, I mean you. If you see a big-headed ant, you'll say, "Yo, that's a big-headed ant,"
that
or
ant
a big
has a
abdomen.
Big head, yeah.
Ant. This is everything in its due course. A third, a third, a third, with the abdomen being maybe a third and some change. And
it perfectly balances all things should be.
Yeah. It's light to dark brown. That's one thing that like maybe a little bit different about it. It seems to verge on lighter brown. Maybe some translucence in the abdomen. maybe almost like a sugar, I think they're called sugar ants, that the one, and I don't know if like everyone has this, but in Florida, the ones that you find in your house and that like sweets, they
like ghost ants.
Ghost ants. That's, yeah, that's, I've heard that term. They have large inset eyes apparently, but again, an ant, it's hard. I guess since you're just looking at an ant and you can see its eyes, it's pretty large for an ant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an ant. You know what an ant looks like. It's got three legs on each side of its body with a total of six. It's got two long antenna. It's got mandibles that curve downward, like downward. If you're watching the video, you saw what that looked like. And then they've got the teardrop-shaped abdomen, and that's it. That's an ant. Go watch Honey, I Shrunk Ourselves.
I was going to say that. They shrunk themselves. Let's help the kids, because Honey, he shrunk the kids. Helps Rick Moranis' kids.
Oh, no, yeah. Yeah, Shrunk Ourselves is the one with the ant, right?
No. I'm telling you, I shrunk the kids.
No, it's a cockroach in Ourselves.
Yeah, I remember when on Honey, I Shrunk Ourselves, that was the one where they're like, they spend most of the time in the house. But in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, they spend most of the time in the yard.
Yeah. I guess another thing is that's interesting about its looks is it's got a wavy thorax. It's not just one line. It's like two humps on the thorax, which is the thing between the head and the abdomen. That's a little unique feature of its looks. But with that, let's talk about its size. Welcome to the Beloved Measure Up segment, the official listener's favorite part of the show. Until we have an election, it is election season after all. You can send in your emails, and if you want two votes, hit us up on Patreon. You can join for free. And whatever you like best, whatever segment you like best, I guess I'm campaigning for Measure Up. You're campaigning for Critter Group /
Nitty
Gritty Nomenclature. I guess there's other segments. There's the Major Fact. there's this taxonomy segment. But send in which one you like better to see which one will be the official listener's favorite part of the show going into 2025. It's the part of the show when we present the animal size and dimensions in relatable terms through a quiz that's fun for the whole family. It's also part of the show that's introduced by you when you send in audio of yourself saying, singing, or chittering the words Measure Up into ldtaxonomy@gmail.com. We don't have a new Measure Up intro this week. But
alas,
that means we get to hear from an animal. Carlos has to guess what it is.
Another ant.
Without further ado, the listener's favorite part of the show.
It's the Destroyer!
You know what that's from?
Is that from Ant Bully?
That's from Ant Bully, yeah, yeah.
I don't remember any of the characters' names from that.
Neither do I.
The kid who, I don't, the kid who I plays, think that might just... Aang? I think Zachary Tyler Eisen, he's the main character. So it's like the only other thing that he's done. And I think Nicolas Cage is in that, too.
I have never seen it. But, yeah,
that's Ant Bully. It's pretty bland.
We don't have a new Measure Up intro this week, but that we also did get some mail, some people writing things, an email, you might even say.
Let us know if there's a better place to talk. We should have a listener mail segment since we've been getting a lot of stuff, because it's like we start Measure Up and it's like, okay, let's do Measure Up, and then it's...
Well, you haven't even heard the dimensions yet, but real quick, Chanel, these are the votes. We're getting votes.
Oh, I see. Okay, then it's relevant.
Chanel says, I'm sure you know already, Sure you already know what I'm going to vote. There's no confusion. I'm illiterate today. Critter groups and nitty gritty nomenclature. Also, yes. Not sure if it counts for two votes or not, but I did just become a free patron member of Patreon.
Yes.
It counts as two. And seeing as I have no job, I'll try to donate when I can. No pressure. Your mere presence is a gift. Either way,
and
hopefully Critter Groups wins.
Not and, financial yeah, contribution.
Your vote.
Like, your vote. Oh, the content you sent over.
Mm-hmm.
The vote of confidence. The reminder that somebody's out there listening to us.
Yes. Would you rather 10 patrons, 10 new patrons, or 10 more people that send in like measure ups and stuff?
The second one by a nautical mile, whichever one's longer.
I mean, being able to like pay for stuff that, you know, like the show needs, like hosting, is great. But it's way better to know that people are out there. That's very fun. It's very good on my brain. Feels good on my brain.
And it's people sending us stuff that they want to listen to, which makes it a lot easier when it comes to deciding what to do.
Yeah, that's very true.
So
but that's not all.
They say what their favorite segments are. They say what animals they want to hear about. So it's like, oh, well, at least the decision part is made for us because of a vocal audience.
Yeah, I mean, it's free. Thank you, Chanel. It's a mixed emotion for me since it is a stark betrayal and a horrible heresy to vote for Critter Groups. But
I was never a betrayal because she's never on your side of the platform. She's never wearing the blue
just
tie.
Just a general betrayal, yeah. One vote for nitty-gritty Critter Groups. That's from Nora. She says, one vote for nitty-gritty Critter Groups.
Anyway,
here's some pet photos for reasons. P.S. That's not a Canada-wide grammar. Wait, what?
You don't need reasons for pet photos.
Now, this might be... Is this for us? A P.S. That's not a grammar... That's not a Canada-wide grammar B.S. That's one idiot. Oh, was there a grammar issue? Oh, man, I don't know what that's about. I have to look in the archives.
Might have to go listen to some older episodes.
We might have, like, said... She might have said something. We might have said, is that a grammar thing? I don't know. But...
Cut this out.
More importantly... There's a hairless cat in a sweater. She has sent us a picture of a hairless cat. A sphinx cat? A goblin cat? I'm not sure.
Sphinx cat.
Wearing a sweater, which is blue, and that's good. It's also perched in as a sentinel on top of it it's like water tower. It's like a water cooler, like for cats, that you put it upside down and the water goes into a tray. Just on top of that, looking into the yard, making sure everyone sees that it's naked. Or it would be warranted.
It's not naked anymore.
and then there's two rats that look like they are snug as a bug in a rug in like a basket with some like downy soft blanketing. Looks like if it was a cool rainy day, you'd want to be one of these rats cozied up.
I want to be one of those rats regardless. I want to be cozied up in a down basket.
And then another looks like another hairless cat, which is being dwarfed by a large and lounging husky, majestic in all its splendor.
Yes. You paint a picture of that husky.
Yes. Well, these
Thank
are
you.
Some great animals.
I don't have the email open, so I can't see them. I'll look at them later.
This is great. It's great that she has the like the household food chain. She's got the rat. I mean, there's like you're only missing like 8 animals to have a little old lady swallow.
Yeah, it gets a little out of hand, so I'm pretty sure that's why she wanted to stop at dog. But
she got his. She has the middle. No horses. No flies.
But cheese, mouse, cat, dog.
No, the little old lady who swallowed. The food chain. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's cheese around. But I was talking with the little old lady who swallowed the fly. Perhaps she'll die. You know, like she doesn't eat cheese and like, oh, we got to get the cheese out of my belly. Let me swallow a rat.
Then what does she swallow to catch the spider? It's not a mouse.
Maybe a bird. A bird and then a cat.
Yeah, I don't know if mouse was part of that old lady's diet.
But thank you.
She just had
Nora.
A diet of worms.
Thank you, Nora. I will have to like dive into the archives to find out what you're talking about. She talked about sign language last time. She talked about sign language, and we were talking about the you know like three thing. I don't know. What did we say? What did we say? With that, so that's 3 votes for critter groups. I need the measure up army to rise up, claim your territory, claim your.
Are you gonna activate your sleeper agents?
Yeah, activating sleeper agents. I'm not gonna like whip the votes. Like I'm not gonna go to.
But
people
you will
I know.
Rig them. I'm not gonna whip the votes, but I will. I
get
will
some
rig them.
Machines in here. Some funny little machines. Just some like little scamps of machines. Let's talk about this ant. The worker Argentine ant. The length is 2 to 3 millimeters. So the Argentine worker ant is the same length as a carpenter ant worker. B, 1/5 a coffee bean. C, 510 red blood cells. For the listener, Carlos is looking. He's making holding up his fingers like a smidgen, and looking at the width of a smidgen. To judge.
I mean, I'm holding a coffee bean, an imaginary coffee bean. My hand. 2 millimeters is very small.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go with that. Coffee bean. Final answer.
1/5 of a coffee bean.
Yeah.
The correct answer is a coffee bean. 1/5 of a coffee bean.
I was like, this looks to be about a centimeter. I think we're good if we call it a centimeter.
A coffee bean is 10 millimeters.
Which is it's a centimeter.
Mm-hmm. The largest type is the Marigogype or elephant coffee bean, which is 24 millimeters. A big old bean.
I wonder if it tastes better. I wonder if it tastes more.
It does. Apparently, like, the best tasting beans the world over are the Arabica beans. And Robusta is a second. The queen length. Let's talk about the length of a queen. Queens are typically larger. This one is 4.2 to 6.4 millimeters. The Argentine ant queen is the same length as A, 640,000 buckyballs. What's a buckyball? Is that a snack you can get at Buc-ee's? No. It's the largest molecule found in space. What a delightful name for a science thing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you know they named that in like 1952.
64 dust mites. Or C, 1/6.4 millionth the height of Mount Everest.
What's the buckyball one? Is it the same size as a buckyball?
640,000 buckyballs.
Buckyballs. I'm hoping it's that. Go. Buckyballs.
A?
Yeah.
The correct answer is A, 640,000 buckyballs. Fun fact, a buckyball, or C60, is a molecule made up of 60 carbon atoms that are arranged in the shape of a soccer ball.
That is like, it's going to be arranged in the shape of the the icon for Buc-ee's.
No, that'd be great. But 60 carbon atoms arranged in a soccer ball that apparently has the properties of both a wave and a particle. The weirdest thing. This is a weird thing. It shouldn't exist. But it's great.
That is weird. I know. I will still never understand how something can't be both.
And they inject 640,000 buckyballs into every Buc-ee's nugget.
It's just mostly carbon. I mean, it is like corn, right? There's a lot of it's a living thing. There's got to be some carbon in there. I'm sure there's more than 60 carbon atoms in a Buc-ee's nugget, which I went to Buc-ee's finally.
Oh, that's right.
Gas station Walmart wasn't that far off of a description. I felt it was like an REI Cracker Barrel State Fair.
And it's a little bit more fun than a gas station Walmart would have you believe.
Yeah, it also had like 1,500 people in there. It was crowded.
At all times. If you become a manager of a Buc-ee's, you make a lot of money. Store managers are paid really well. And you would have to be, because you're dealing with like thousands of people every day.
Yeah, not keen on going back, but glad I at least experienced it.
I sure am. Let's talk fast facts before we get into the major fact. The Argentine ant is native to guess where?
Brazil.
Northern Argentina.
I was like one country over, so.
These ants have become but they're from Argentina, but they're everywhere, like Johnny Cash.
He is everywhere. He died, but now he's currently everywhere. Strike him down, and he will become more powerful than you could possibly imagine.
Yes. He's one with like the guitar force, the music. It's everywhere. He's gone full August Rush. The appearance, talked about, they're small, typically light to brown. The colonies, unlike most ant species, Argentine ants have more than one queen in a single colony, which can make up to their queens can make up to 30% of the population of a colony. That's contingencies on contingencies.
We're not. Yeah, you're never running out of queens at that point.
They frequently move their nests and establish larger colonies. They are imperialists. I'm sorry to say. I mean, it works for them. They need that unobtainium. they have low levels of intraspecific aggression.
You know, oh, wait, I'm going to talk about all this.
Okay. I was just going to say that they don't hurt each other. They hurt other species.
That facilitates what they end up doing.
Okay. So the diet. They're omnivorous. They eat leaves and living things or dead things. But they have, I guess, leaves at one point are parts of living things. Meat and cheese and peanut butter and leaves. That's what they like. And
I'm so
bugs.
Hungry. Less hungry now.
But they have a preference for sweet foods. Maybe there's something about that translucent, tiny body.
Same.
That needs that, like a ghost ant or sugar ant.
Needs it's my sweet, translucent, sweet tiny sugar. Body that also makes me very hungry for sugar.
They can nest in soil, under wood, logs, debris, mulch, and often form strong foraging trails. Which is like the lines. Sometimes there's certain ants that, like, we're just going to go everywhere. Like Johnny Cash. But I mean, in no particular, like, order. But not these. They're considered a nuisance pest. No kidding.
An ant? Really?
No. And they can disrupt other stuff. I'll leave that to you. But take it away. Is there a big fact? Let's hear it.
Okay. I'm just calling this continental super colonies. Nothing pithy there. So the Argentine ant, they like to come together right now under me. So like I said, they are very gregarious with each other. They have lots of queens. And this gives them the opportunity to expand aggressively. So while they are very nice to each other, they are less than nice to literally everything else. They have been able to create what are called global super colonies. At first, they thought they were continental super colonies. So they were discovering these groups of ants that were collaborating, sharing resources, and working together across entire continents, like Europe, North America, Australia, the islands of Japan. It was just be like they're all part of one big ant city. They're all the same species. And it's not like they all have just one queen that's governing the whole thing. But in other ant species, they will compete. Different colonies of the same ant species will compete if they're in the same area. They'll be aggressive to each other because they want the resources. It doesn't matter that they're the same species. Like humans. It doesn't matter that we're the same species. We're just going to be mean to each other no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
But the Argentine ant says, oh, look, another Argentine ant, kin of my kin, won't you join me to conquer the earth? And that's what they do. So this is also facilitated by their ability to adapt. These ants in particular are found all over the place. They can live in colder climates than most ants. They can live in hotter climates as well. Things that would otherwise be inhospitable. They spend a lot of time in human habitations. And so they don't need a lot of specific things to live. They can deal with different levels of acidity in the soil. They're very resilient to pesticides. So it's just they're good at surviving, and they're also nice to each other. It's just the worst thing you couldn't have for an ant. And so these super colonies displace native ant species as they move into new areas. because they are very aggressive to other ants, to other species of ants. And it's really hard for a single small local colony of ants to compete when a continental army is bearing down on you, like just infinite resources. It's like trying to invade Russia. It's like they just have all the people, so you're just never going to run out. And so they will compete for resources with these other ants. They will just straight up kill these other ants. And they'll disrupt the local ecosystem. So they'll take aphid farms. We've talked about how a lot of ants will actually farm, or they're more like ranchers. It's like a farm, but they eat the honeydew that aphids secrete. And so they will kind of corral them and take care of them and stroke them so that they secrete more honeydew, and that's how they get their fix. But they will take them for themselves so that other ants don't have access to them. They will also attack, annoy, and interrupt pollinators like bees and butterflies. You don't want to land on a flower when it's covered in ants, and neither does a bee. And so it changes their pollination behavior and also just how the plants are able to reproduce. So they have a huge impact in the areas that they find themselves in, or they expand into. They've done some genetic studies on these ants, and they actually have really low genetic diversity, which allows them to very easily and reliably recognize each other. So there's rather than the same species of ant in one region eventually meeting the species in a region that's, you know, far away, and they've spent so much time, so many generations have gone by that their genetic diversity is so different that they don't even recognize each other. That doesn't happen here. So they are very, they can just, they're instant friends with other Argentine, yeah, best friends. So they cooperate very well. They communicate through pheromones, and they will use their coordination to overcome problems in the environment, attack aggressors, hunt food, and expand into new areas. Managing these super colonies is understandably difficult. And I don't mean managing like if you're the queen and you have to manage it. I mean like keeping them at bay as a person. Like I said, they're pretty resilient to insecticides. And also there's just all of them. I have a bunch of ants living in my front yard, and it doesn't matter how much poison I put into the ant holes that crop up. I know that there is just a seething, writhing chasm of ants living below the surface. And it's just, even if you kill a bunch of them, there's a 500 million more just waiting to take their place. And it's even worse when it's a super colony that spans the entire continent. there are integrated pest control strategies that use chemical, biological methods. But really, this is one thing that has eluded man. We've been to the bottom of the ocean and we've been on the moon, but we can't take care of ants. So it's a huge portion of research when it comes to pest control is like, how do these super colonies work, and how do we manage it? Because like I said, the biggest impact that they have is on local ecosystems. Plants die because they can't reproduce and can go extinct in certain areas. Other ant species don't stand a chance, and so it just pushes them out. The balance and harmony that the local ants contribute to as a cog in the natural machine is completely thrown out of whack when ants that should be in Argentina are in Japan or, you know, Germany or, in Chad. This is all over the place. And all teeming underground. So, and the most recent conjecture is that it's not even that, like, oh, this is the African super colony, this is the European super colony. This is the global super colony. They are all part of the same colony. So it's, you know, one world, one love, right?
One you world love that government. The globalists.
They're Alex globalists. Jones. They don't have money. You don't need money. You don't need thought.
You'll own nothing and like it.
You'll own nothing and love it, yes. And you'll own nothing and be happy. So, yeah, that's the pseudo-utopian horror of the Argentine ant. Yeah, so it's one of the most common ants in the world. You've most likely encountered it, and just know that even if you eliminate them from one area, it doesn't end there. You've only angered the Hatfields and the McCoys that are working together now. And that's all I got.
That's all I got.
All right, so that was the Argentine ant for you out there in Podcastia. Chill out. Hammer your spears into plowshares. And remember that we are all just one love, one heart. Like the Argentine ant here in life, death, and taxonomy.
Hey Taxonomy Titans, I just want to remind you that we now have a Patreon. Patrons can see full video episodes and get shoutouts on the show. But ultimately, it's a way for you to help us cover some costs and get even better. Still, reviews are the best way to help us grow. So if you haven't left one yet, we'd really love to hear from you. As always, thanks for listening and engaging.
Favorite in the world podcast.
One love, one heart. Let's get together and kill all the other ants.